And the reception of the article was generally pretty good. I mean, people liked it. They thought it was thought-provoking. A lot of people liked the genealogical aspect. Some people took issue with my conclusion. Other people took or issue with the history. But let's say it also provoked some pretty angry reactions. Interestingly enough, not from conservatives, because a lot of conservatives I encountered thought that I was right. In fact, they had a kind of I told you so moment to a lot of people like Yoram Hazony, right, who thought that conservatives and liberals should side together. But a lot of people on the radical left, particularly tankies, Leninists, proto-Stalinists, and a number of others, argued that what they were looking for wasn't to kind of ally with liberalism or engage in dialogue with liberalism or look at the overlap between liberalism and socialism. They wanted to destroy liberalism.
And okay, for our listeners who are less on social media, Victor, can you explain to us what a tanky is, being our resident Iron Curtain baby?
Also, Litvic, yeah, so I believe the term actually goes back to British politics from like the 60s, where these were like unrepentant Stalinists who supported the USSR invasion of Czechoslovakia, right? That's why they were called tankies, because even when they saw Soviet tanks going into Central Europe, they were saying, no, you know what? Stalin is still right. We should still follow those precepts. So today it sort of refers more, I believe, to kind of like the more extreme sort of Twitter Marxists who are so deeply anti-establishment that they basically like refuse to ever vote Democrat, you know, Bernie or bust, but taken to such ludicrous extents that, yeah, you basically refer to them as tankies.
Yeah, I actually got a few people who had exactly that tagline criticizing me. You know, never Bernie, or never Biden was the tag for a lot of them, right?
Yeah.
I'm also wondering if it might be useful also to just like summarize what is the typical like tension between liberalism and socialism, I guess. And maybe it just has to do with, I guess, the view that socialism or that liberalism defends private property. I don't know if you'd say more than that, but that like at its simplest seems to be like the main tension, I guess.
I mean, I wouldn't want to give the idea that liberalism is like a monolithic thing, like any other political
ideology.
That's
the problem, I think.
But I mean, the problems that the socialists had was that liberalism is identified with capitalism, and that's what needs to be destroyed. But sorry, I interrupted.
No, I think that's exactly right. I mean, the kind of cliched, vulgar Marxist interpretation of liberalism is as the superstructural ideology of capitalism, right? And I say vulgar Marxist because one of the points that I make in the article is, of course, Marx is a dialectical theorist, would say that liberalism isn't bad. It's a historical epoch that contributes a great deal to human life, but eventually needs to be transcended, right? But that's neither here nor there. I think the two major differences between what you might broadly call the liberal tradition and what you might broadly call the socialist tradition, and I think a lot of the socialist tradition, I should say, blossoms out of liberalism, sometimes quite explicitly in the work of people like William Godwin, for example, right? So even kind of dividing them, I would say, is a little bit of an artificial enterprise. But to the extent we can do that, the big differences are on democracy and economics, right? Yeah. Where initially, at least, many liberals were hostile to the idea of further democratization, or at the very least, they wanted to put a cap on how much democracy was extended. And you can see this in the work of people like James Madison, or even people like John Stuart Mill, right? With this kind of assigning of multiple votes to more educated individuals in his work on representative democracy, right? And the second big thing is, of course, on economics, where liberals tended to be more willing to tolerate limitless or unregulated free markets, and their terminology, right? Whereas socialists tended to argue that either the state should impose substantial regulations on the market to distribute the surplus in a more equitable and humane manner, or they wanted to seize control of the means of production, in the classic parlance, democratize ownership and produce goods in that fashion.
So in simple terms, the economic divide would be that if you come through liberalism, you're going to have, on the one extreme, laissez-faire economics. And if you come from the socialist angle, you're going to have a control economy. I mean, that's the sort of basic binary you get in the economic textbooks, control versus a free market economy. And that's seen as completely incompatible. If you want to have a government intervention in the markets, it's not laissez-faire, it's not liberal. And if you have a completely unregulated market, then you're being a laissez-faire liberal, or I would say a neoliberal.
Well, and this is where I'll just conclude by talking about the overlap between these two traditions, right? Because these two things have been points of contention between liberals and socialists for a long time, right? Particularly the second one, since many liberals gradually became more amenable to democratization, not necessarily democratization of the world, of the workforce, but certainly ideals of universal suffrage, right?
All right. So this is all a little bit highfalutin. It has to do with the state. It has to do with property. I just wanted to note that Marx was not even the first communist. There's a lot of critiques of private property that precede Marx, including Jean-Jacques Rousseau and the origin of inequality and communist groups that didn't actually have anything to say about the state. They were more writing from a theoretical perspective. But this isn't particularly just about a theoretical perspective, because the reaction that Matt got, it kind of, to me, seems like internet commies believe that we're on equal playing ground and that we have a choice, like the left has a choice between revolution and reform. We don't have a choice. We can't even get the reform done. So I don't know if revolution's off the table. I mean, to me, the analogy I thought of today, this seems like taking a coaching clinic from the Cleveland Browns. Like, you would just never do it. So what do we think about this reaction saying you can't reform it, we have to overthrow it, from people who are posting from their bedrooms on Twitter, which I think this is politically useless.
I remember one of the big memes was like reformists can fuck off or something like that, right? Like any reformism, any talk of that is just pure compromise on the part of a socialist Marxist.
Yeah, I mean, it did seem to me like there's a tendency among the reaction from these like online Marxists to wanna like have this clean opposition between these two concepts, as if there's like something intrinsic, I guess, to liberalism. If you use the word liberalism, it automatically is going to mean, and it kind of reminds me of like, you know, when you hear conservatives, as soon as you start talking about like communism or socialism, they'll like point to like the Soviet Union and be like, oh, wow, look at that. Like, you're for that. And it's like, no, you idiot. Like, you can actually have a nuanced view about what these things mean. And I think just like Stalinism and like, you know, genocide and totalitarianism is not intrinsic to communism. I think that capitalism, or like free market, laissez-faire capitalism, if you're like an honest, clear thinker, is not intrinsic to liberalism. And I think in some ways that's what Matt's article was trying to do. And I think in the reaction, you see a lot of people kind of pretending, or like this is the game they like to play, right? Maybe it would be useful to pull up some of the comments, you know, but I think it like that's I feel like what the what like that's I feel like what's at play in people's mind when they had this sort of like angry reaction or whatever.